sweet potato pie, and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind. There ain't nobody looking back again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Friday morning to you. Still to come on the program, Jennifer Fidler will be joining us here in about a half hour. She's running for State House in Baldwin County down Fairhope, Barnwell, that way. We also got April Murray Fogel, News Talk 93.1 in Montgomery, my former colleague, Dylan Smith, Yellowhammer News, and we're wrapping up with the returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stay tuned for that. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on our next guest. Very, very gracious to accept our invitation. I know our phone's probably been ringing off the hook. State Representative Terry Collins of Decatur. Good morning, Representative. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing fine. I'm doing great.
Thanks for making time for us. Let's kick it off here. There's no sense of beating around the bush. The leaked draft of the Supreme Court opinion from Samuel Alito. It looks like the abortion question is going to be sent back to the states ultimately. And what's your reaction to it?
Well, if this turns out to be accurate, which I'm praying personally that it will, I'm pleased. I think it is a state decision. I think that all our states are different and they can make up their own laws, just like we do all our other laws. So I am very hopeful about that. I'm still very distraught that we've had a leak in the Supreme Court and how that is working out and what, you know, repercussions will be from that. But if that is able, that was the purpose of our Human Rights, Human Life Protection Act that we passed in 2019. And so if that goal is accomplished, that is what we wanted to see. So that's great news.
Well, let's talk about the 2019 law. Phil Williams, our mutual friend up in North Alabama, and I, we were on his radio show yesterday. It kind of had a back and forth here, but if I'm not mistaken, you always told me that the 2019 law was meant to be a trigger law to trigger a test case, that it was not meant to be the law of the state of Alabama, and that once the Supreme Court considered this, if they did, we would go back and take a look at it. I'll just add this. We had Nathaniel Ledbetter, the majority leader. He says the state, the legislature is ready to move ASAP once this decision becomes official. There's going to be another crack at this, I assume, right?
I would think so, Jeff. I can remember back in 2019, I think we were at some North Alabama meeting. I was on a panel or something anyway, and I felt like when you spoke about it, you seemed to understand exactly what was going on as well as anybody around, and I appreciated that. I was on Dale Jackson earlier this morning, and he said that you and he had also been going roundabout, but after we spoke, he said he understood what the point was. And yes, exactly what you said, the Human Life Protection Act was always aimed at the Roe versus Wade decision, hoping to get it overturned so that we could have our own laws in Alabama. Now, we will still probably need to do something, but I really don't know until that decision is actually released and we see the repercussions of that. We don't really know how it affects previous laws before 1973 or even laws that are enjoined and that are stopped right now, like the human that are sitting on Judge Myron Thompson's desk. I mean, I'm not certain until after the decision is truly released, we're going to know how we need to proceed.
Well, my guess is it will be contentious. There are apparently, and I don't know why I assumed there wouldn't be. I just never thought about it. There are people that are going to want the 2019 the law to stay as is, not change at all. And I don't know how it's enforceable. I don't know how that would even work. But I remember the point, and I thought you explained it well. It was an API event in Huntsville. And,
It was.
And yeah. I thought, wow, because like it didn't make sense to me until that moment, and no one had really explained it. It was clouded by, you know, the AL.coms and the usual culprits, even some of the national media.
Well, like anything, you get more misinformation than you get actual information. But that was what we said. I can remember reporters, I mentioned to someone yesterday in Montgomery outside the State House floor, asked me the same question about five times. And I finally said, okay, I'm not answering what you're wanting to hear. I don't understand. And basically they're saying, so you're telling me if we pass this and then it is overturned, trust me. And then I laughed and I said, well, you're right. I'm a legislator, a politician, telling you to trust me. But that was what I was doing. Now, anything I passed, which the bill I worked on the previous quadrennium was a heartbeat bill. And that's the bill that I believe is the best bill for a law about abortion in Alabama. But that's what I think, Jeff. It would still have to go through the legislative process and debate, and both sides or all sides. There's certainly not those two sides on this. There's 1,000 sides. And it would have to go through that process, as all laws do.
Well, I dare say, I think it'll be complicated, right? Because
I think it will. I think there are a lot that will want the total ban, and that'll be what they believe is right. I believe, even when we were working on that one, that the heartbeat was the one I thought was the best for our state. And I will say, back in 2019, keeping legislators focused on especially the no exceptions part, because Roe versus Wade was decided on the fact that that child in the womb was not a person. And we believe science shows it is a person, and so therefore has a right to not be killed, and so that's what we were basing that on. And so there could be no exceptions, because it didn't matter how the child was conceived, if the child is really a baby in the womb, a person. And so that's why we left no exceptions, nothing, because we wanted to keep the focus on what the issue Roe versus Wade was decided upon. And now I believe in Alabama, we'll want to have a law that represents the majority of our people, but you are exactly right. It will have to go through the process, and it will be highly controversial.
That's the million-dollar question, and we're never going to have finality on this abortion topic until somebody somewhere definitively decides or determines when does life begin. Is it conception? Is it the heartbeat? Is it birth? Right. When does it begin? The beginning of the third trimester? When does it begin? And we're never – this is what we've been arguing about since the 73 Roe v. Wade decision, and I just think this decision, while it's kind of a victory on the battlefield, it doesn't win the war, right?
It doesn't. And I mean, in my heart, I believe life begins at conception. I believe that's what the Bible tells me. That's what I believe as a truth. But it's kind of back to how you said, even about the Human Life Protection Act. How do we enforce this? How do we do this? Well, that's how you do. And to me, at heartbeat, when you hear a heartbeat, you know that there is a life there. And that seems to be, I don't get into birth control that way. It doesn't get into others. The heartbeat bill I had several exceptions. And they're not exceptions I would take. I would never take the life of the child I was carrying. But you know what? In some of these extreme circumstances, sometimes I think those decisions are best made with those families and with those doctors, because of those extreme circumstances. It's not what I would do, but it's what I believe most Alabamians think is right.
Right. So the exceptions would kind of come down to this, I would think. Obviously, the life of the mother, and that's in the 2019 bill.
That's the one exception. That is in the Human Life Protection Act.
We got to figure out what to do with rape or incest, and that becomes what I think is going to be kind of the central issue whenever y'all get back in 2023, or maybe a special session. Yeah,
I think it was. And that was in the Human Life Protection Act. And these are hard, hard issues. They are. And there's where you draw those lines is always going to be where the battle's fought. So we'll just have to see.
And I don't know where the public is on this. I have a suspicion where Republican primary voters are. I don't know where the public is. What is the general? There doesn't seem to be. It's hard to know. That's what makes this difficult as well. Is consent of the governed and all that. Well, what is the consent of the governed? How do we determine that? Because this is maybe something some people haven't even thought about.
I think so, too. And most people, as always, think just what they think and what they would do. And like I just said, this is not what I would do. But I'm not everybody. And I'm not right now in any of those terrible circumstances. So when you're trying to draw what those boundaries are and where you want those lines to be, I do try to truly pray about where I think is the best thing and where I think most people would want. And it's like you said earlier, it's never going to be an issue that we're going to agree on.
Joined by State Representative Terry Collins of Decatur here on the program. Let's move on to another topic here, and this was something you guys worked on, Roger Smitherman in the upper chamber, and you, the Literacy Act. Do we will have enough data with this 2-year ban, you think, to make some assessments once we get to that point, whether or not you need to have that retention element, if this stuff is working, that you feel good about where we are today?
I do. I think that we will have enough data in a year. We'll have 3 years of data by next year. But by fourth year, we certainly will. I do feel good about it. I don't think that we take that out ever, because that's the piece of it that makes it all work. That's the piece that gives it that sense of urgency. And our children need that. That's the part that gets parents and families and teach everybody on board. And so I think that's what's made it work in Mississippi, and that's what's making it work here. One of the things, Jeff, and I don't know if I shared this, but we worked on some legislation this year. We were looking at adding credentialed aid in especially schools, low performing schools in those K through 3 grades. They go out of a pre-K that's number one ranked in the nation that has that credentialed aid in that class, and then they go into a larger class with one teacher. And so we thought, well, let's see if that will make a difference. And as we were researching that, I was looking for schools that by third grade had 50% or more in that bottom quartile of the testing. Testing comes in 1, 2, 3, 4, 1 being the lowest performing. And I was horrified because the first document I got had over 200 schools that already had students in that bottom quartile and over 50% of their students, and some of them up to 100%. And I was so upset. And what I noticed was that was our math scores. When I looked at the next page, do you know how many schools at this point in time, which is 2021 testing, not this year, but last year's testing, how many schools had 50% or more in reading in that bottom quartile?
Lay it on me.
Only 4. And 2 of those were special schools. So we went from over 200 in just 2 years to 4. And I know we can do that with our Numeracy Act, and I know that we're going to be ready. And I will always believe that if we pass a child out of the third grade that we know can't read, then we are failing that child.
Well, it's just
because they'll be expected to read.
This is the case. We should see some improvements on the NAEP scores, right?
Definitely. We should see. We're going to see, I believe, even this year's testing, our 2022 testing, we're going to see some improvements. We have been slowly but surely making some huge changes in education that I believe are going to benefit our children, and we're going to see them better prepared.
Representative, we'll get you out of here on this, and this seems to be a theme. I don't know what you make of it. Starting to see more and more of the AEA around the State House and having more of a thumbprint on some of the legislation. Is that the case? Is that your impression?
Well, they seem to still have a lot of influence. You know, I started several years ago trying to work with all of the education groups, even back with literacy. Now, they all were opposing it at that point. But they're all working together now, trying to help our children be successful, and I appreciate that. But I've included them in all of my discussions, or tried to, invited them to the table anyway. And but yes, I do believe that they have a lot of influence. You know, they have contact with all of our teachers around the state, and that's a powerful influence.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like we're quite to Paul Hubbard yet, but they do, you do see him around. And I guess for conservatives wanting to see some kind of school choice, they are kind of standing in the way of that. But it sounds like they come around.
They do. Yes, I mean, I would say that is true. Although, they have teachers that are members of AEA that are in our charter schools. So it seems to be weakening a little bit. And I think as our charter schools continue to show such improvement, and especially compared to the schools around them, I think that's going to help. I think it's just a very slow moving thought process and understanding of school choice and what that means, giving families a choice on where they educate their children. And I believe that's what people want. It always pulls high, Jeff, but then when the rubber meets the road, that they don't seem to go for it. So we'll keep making those efforts to expand what we can with school choice.
Representative Collins, we always appreciate your time, and best of luck to you up there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to talk to you, Jeff.
You too. That was State Representative Terry Collins on the program. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.